Hello, my name is Ben Jenkins and welcome back to another episode of the New Grad Radio podcast. I'm looking around and it's that time of year again where student nurses are applying for their graduate programs. I can certainly look back on my own time of applying for grad programs and just remembering just how stressful of a time it is. After so many countless hours of student placements, the early lectures, the countless exams and written assignments, like it's all led to this moment where you are now competing against your fellow students for a select number of graduate programs. Some people want to get very specific programs and other people just want a job. And so here you are going against everyone for this as well. So it's certainly a nerve-wracking time. So I thought I'd take this opportunity today to sort of talk about my own experiences of applying for my graduate programs. I feel that this subject in general is something that people don't really talk about. It's sort of like this cloud of secrecy that everyone has to go through it, but you sort of have to find it your own way. And so I wanted to make an episode where I just talk about the facts. This is exactly what happened. This is what I was thinking at the time. And I'm going to round it out with just some reflections of how it makes a bit more sense now that I'm 2 years into the job. So anyway, guys, this is all for student nurses, and I hope you enjoy. Okay, I think I just want to say up front that I think every single interview that you guys are going to go to, it's going to differ. So in this episode today, I'm just going to talk to you about my own personal experiences of what I went through. And I guess just try not to go off it too much, to try to base everything off too much, because it probably will be highly specific to every single one that you go to. But all right, let's get underway. So even though I went through a 4-year uni degree, so did the nursing paramedic double, I still feel as if these graduate interviews came around before I knew it. But something that my uni did really well within a particular one of the classes that I was in is that they spent time on having specific lessons on preparing for your graduate interviews and for the graduate process itself. Which looking back on it now, I think that was absolutely wonderful that they did that. So what are some of the things that we did? So the first thing that you do when it comes to graduate applications is putting in your resume. And when it comes to resume writing, it is something that is most likely right there, the one that's going to be very personal and specific to every person. Because not everyone has the same experiences. And it is something that is very challenging because you've most likely only got one or two pages that you're trying to condense things down into. And in your resume itself, you're going to have things that are going to be generic amongst everyone. You're going to have on there like referees down the very bottom, who the people will call up and have a chat to. You're also going to most likely write down the placements that you've been on throughout your career as a nursing student. But then you're also going to have things such as achievements and awards that you may have received. That's the sort of stuff that and some other experiences that you've had that you're trying to separate yourself from other people. So for me, I put down some examples of competed twice in national student paramedic competitions. Like that's just one example. It's trying to show that it's still something that's kind of specific to my career as a nurse, because I was able to, you know, compete for my uni at national level comps, but also had some sort of a clinical application to it. And it could be a pretty good conversation starter for someone if it came to my interviews. That's just one example. And another example was one of the particular leadership programs that I was a part of for uni, being one of the only nursing students to have been in this program and one of the only paramedic students to have been in the program as well. So it's just some things that someone would be able to pick up, because remember that the people looking at these resumes are looking at a ton of resumes. And whilst it can be inviting to try to cram and condense as much into it as possible, I think it's just trying to take a piece of humble pie and being able to put down just some of the things that are going to be relevant to the person who's picking it up really quick, and some things that may stand out to them as being unique or different compared to other people. But again, that don't take my 100% advice on this one. It is something really important to try to get right. And if there are some of your teachers or some other sort of leaders at your uni or whoever can have a look at it, that's probably something I'd suggest. But there was that. And then also my uni was really good about bringing in some external people, some people that we haven't been taught by, and they put on some mock interviews. Because again, some people may not have ever been interviewed before. And that's fair enough. And going through interviews is a skill. Like, it is something that the more you do, the better you're going to get. So just being able to have preset in our minds from what the uni was telling us to be like, look, here's a few examples of some questions that they may ask you. And at that time, that some of the questions that they're asking were based around what was an example that you've had from your student placements where you've come across conflict. What did you do in this situation? Let's give some examples. An example of an effective team that you've been a part of. What was it about that team that made them so good? What are some things that you do to be able to de-stress? What else was there? Some of the things that you do for time management, like if you have any questions, who are you going to ask? Like, at that time, like, there were some of the basic questions. Like, it's more of the generic type ones. But really, I think, like, as much preparation as you can have for, you know, preparing for graduate interviews and everything, I think it's not until that you actually go to the interview and face it that you're going to really understand what they're after. And I think that's something where I'm trying to be here to try to give you some sort of examples of what you may come across. But remember, each of the interviewers is most likely going to want to try to hear some trigger words, most likely some things that they've come prepared. But just to skip ahead to the interview section for a moment, only that person who's interviewing you is going to know what they're after. There's no magic answer that's going to work for everyone and for every interviewer. I think it's just trying to have a good think in the moment, and that's what it's going to come down to. But anyway, so I'll get it back on topic. I think it was really cool that the uni I went to was really good at really having us getting prepared ahead of time. And this was before we went on to student placements, and this was a few weeks before the application portal had opened up. So we'd already started writing down and preparing our resumes ahead of time and ahead of our student placements that were coming up as well. Because now I'll skip into it. Where was I at the time of graduate portal opening? So I was still finishing off a few assignments for uni as at the same time of being on student placement. So at that time I was in a student placement within the emergency department. As you know, and then you're trying to come home, and as the graduate portal opens, here you are preparing for, you know, sending this away. And a lot of students as well will be working as well, just to be able to support themselves. So it is a very, very stressful period during this whole graduate application process, especially as people are always trying to say to you that you're competing against one another for only a select amount of graduate places. And it's so if you at the moment are listening to this and you are feeling a bit stressed, or if you are feeling a bit too stressed, I'll definitely suggest that you talk to someone, because it really is a tough period of time. But I just want you to know that for myself and for my mates and for other students, that it is very normal to be feeling stressed right now. But just keep in mind that within a few short months that you'll be finished uni, and before you know it, you'll be off and hopefully within your own graduate program and starting off as a graduate nurse, which is a completely different beast to being at uni. And that's something I've tried to portray within this podcast itself. Anyway, so as I was within the application process, so what was involved in the application process? So the graduate portal in Victoria was the first that came open, and that's what I started applying for. I started to apply to, and I think the way that Victoria works, trying to rack my brain back to it now, is that the graduate portal opens and you apply for three different health services. And within those applications, there may be some specifics of what that particular health service was after. So they may ask some, they have three different questions that they'll ask you. So not only are you putting in your resume and you're trying to tailor your resume and your cover letter, because remember, there's two different things. You've got a resume and a cover letter. A resume is the generic one. That's going to, you can prepare that ahead of time, no worries. But the cover letter is going to be tailored specifically to that health service, looking at some things such as their values, and just really nutting down to be like, this is why I want to work for them, and really trying to make that clear to them. But then they may, and some of them are also asking some questions as well. So some of the questions may appear very similar to some of the questions they may ask you in person, such as, you know, some name a time in which you had conflict management and how did you resolve it and all that sort of stuff. Some of the questions that they had asked. So not only are you putting in a cover letter and you're preparing your resume, but you're also writing off a few of these questions to some of those health services. So once you put in these applications, that's when you then have a bit of a waiting period, and that's when you get asked to come to interviews. So this is where I'll get onto interviews. I'll skip back a second. When it came to applying for those graduate programs, so why did I apply for those particular health services? And this is a question it's very tricky, because remember, you are competing against other people. There are some really big programs that are out there, and if you don't put them as number one on your ranking list, well, then you may not get a look in at all. If you're not putting them as number one, it's sort of as if like you're dismissed straight away, or that's how they sort of make us perceive it. I don't know the true answer for real, but that's just what I've heard on the grapevine. So don't take that as fair. Take that as face value, that one. Some people come at it from, I'm going to, some people will look at it as if like, I don't want to apply to three really big programs and miss out on all three, because otherwise you're not going to get any program. And then other people look at it from, okay, I'm going to put down one really good one, I'm going to go all at that one, and then hopefully I can have some other programs that are a bit smaller that maybe to fall back on. Maybe I might go a bit rural or whatever. But for me, like, I applied for two of the big major trauma centers in Victoria as my one and two, I can't quite remember now, but I applied for two major trauma centers and then another hospital that I was doing my placement at the time. And the way it works in Victoria, so once you put in your applications and then it comes back to say that you've got an interview, that's when you prepare for your interview. For my interviews, I was turning up each time in a suit and tie as a guy. I think it's really important for first impressions, to give off a really good first impression to show that you're really taking this seriously, because you are applying for a job. So I'd turn up ahead of time, all prepared. And something that I brought with me to each interview was a little binder that I'd made. And this binder was filled of first 10 copies of certificates, so the real copies of each of the certificates that I got, some certificates from leadership programs. I was part of some publicity stuff for Monash in different like online media and stuff like that, so I had printed off a few screenshots of them. I'd printed off a few photos of me competing in paramedic competitions and a few addresses that I'd made to this student leadership program that I implemented. Just a few of these little things. So if in conversation that it came up and I could start talking about those sort of things, I could open up my binder and have that in front of me and show some pictures to someone. It's one thing to have a whole bunch of text writing, but I think it's another thing to have something easy that you can just flick to in the moment and show them ahead of you. I think it's a good conversation starter as well. But so I turned up for the interview. So each of the interviews I pretty much went to were very different. One of them was a group interview. Now, that's something that not everyone gets to do. Thankfully, I'd already done a few group interviews in the past. I kind of knew what to expect. So one of the rotations within this particular interview I went to was a medication calculation one. And to be honest, yes, that was so nerve-wracking to go to a medication calculation one. I think that would be true to most people listening to this and to most student nurses. I think maths, especially how they teach it at uni, where you have to get 100%, and it is nerve-wracking. But I came away from that station actually feeling quite liberated. Like, it wasn't any, they weren't out to trick you. They just wanted to know that you knew your basics. And I walked away with it thinking, you know what, I think I did really well. And it's just reassuring more than anything. There was another section, which was one-on-one interviews. That's where they started asking you in that real interview format. But it was one person interviewing you. And so when you keep that in mind, as you can imagine, you're going to have so many different results depending on which particular person is interviewing you at the time. You could go to the same interview as someone else, have 10 different interviewers and have 10 different experiences depending on who's interviewing you. So that's what makes interviews quite nerve-wracking as well, because you just don't know what they're looking for. But again, some of the questions that were asked were more about, you know, how do you, you know, this graduate program is going to be quite challenging. What are some of the strategies that you're going to do on your days off in order to, you know, unwind and sort of get through this challenging year? Talking about, you know, that you will be confronted with conflict within the workplace. What are some of the what's an example of a time that you've dealt with conflict? And what will you do in the future to as an example of conflict management? So there are some examples of many of the questions that were asked. And the third aspect was the group interview actual portion. And the way it worked is I had about, I think if I remember correctly, about 10 people within this small little group. They had a piece of paper, like a laminated piece of A4 paper, which was was the scenario. And then there was a big few pieces of big paper that we could all write on. And what they sat down with two different assessors at the table. They were watching as all of us were trying to work together to talk about how we would treat this particular patient. And so from what I've learned from my previous experiences and from this particular group interview as well, is that you don't want to be the person that's just up the front talking nonstop and not listening to other people. Also, you don't want to be the person that says nothing and doesn't really contribute. You want to try to find yourself somewhere in the middle where you're able to demonstrate some leadership qualities by offering some input and by really listening to what your other people in the group have to say. To try to make yourself heard and that you're able to contribute to the team without proper going overboard or not saying anything. And that is something difficult to do. And it really depends on the particular group that you have with you at the time. Some people will naturally just be trying to lead and it can be quite confronting. And so each person's experience of that is going to differ. Whilst another type of interview I went to was I sat in front of three nurses within a board sort of setting and then they just grill you for however long it sort of took. The area that I was going for. So within the state of Victoria, as I sort of mentioned, you apply for your particular health service and then once you get sort of, I guess, quote unquote, employed with this graduate program, then that is when they internally place you within the particular rotations, within the areas that you'd be working in. So throughout uni, I really had thought that, you know, emergency nursing is where I wanted to be. I knew I wanted to be an ED or everything, that's really what I wanted. The way that Victoria works is it's rotations. So it's either going to be two or three rotations within the year. And so that means that most likely you may get the rotation that you're going for, such as emergency. And then the second rotation could be anything. It may not be something that you really want to enjoy or anything, but that's just the way that Victoria works with their graduate programs. And it's not until you are employed by that health service and you've chosen them that they then place you internally. So it can be a bit risky. What else? So once you finish those interviews, that's when the waiting happens. And that's probably the most nerve-wracking experience of all of it. I guess when you come out of the interview, I think it's probably natural to think, I could have said so much more. I did, but I think you just got to walk out of it and say, you know what, I did my best. I'm proud of what I've accomplished. It wasn't easy. And now it's just time to wait. And I was actually really surprised. I came prepared with that binder, as I sort of mentioned, but I was actually surprised at how I wasn't able to incorporate this sort of stuff into the interviews. As you can imagine, these interviewers are trying to get through people as quick as possible, and they are sort of, I guess, from my experiences listening to them, they're trying to hear the buzzwords. They're trying to hear the stuff, and only they know the buzzwords of what they're after. You'll never know. You will never know what they're truly, really looking for. And so at times I had sort of try to maneuver it into the conversation, I guess, by trying to show some pictures. But really, I was actually really surprised at how little I could do. So they're after what they're after, and then they're on to the next person as well. So that can be quite confronting. So as all this was sort of happening, I sort of got through most of those interviews. And at the same time, as well as the student placement and everything, I was also preparing for a student paramedic competition. So I was representing my uni at a national student paramedic competition. So I was doing a whole bunch of simulations and getting all prepared for this competition. And it just so happens to be the very next day after the competition was the graduate open day for a particular health service I was looking at, which is where I'm currently working now. And so I'd sort of sent off a few emails ahead of time to the graduate coordinators to be like, hi, look, I'm actually looking at this graduate program. It really excites me. I think it's something I would love to do. Would it be possible to come along on this day to the graduate open day? And they said, yeah, sure, Ben, no worries at all, especially since you're traveling interstate. Rah, rah, rah. This is the person. They gave me the name of the person that I should go and see on the day. And so again, after that competition, I went the very next day, I dressed really presentably, and I went to the open day. And if you can, I would highly encourage you to go to an open day of the hospital service or the area that you're looking at. So on this particular day, I went straight up to this person, I shook their hand, I introduced myself. And it just so happens that I have one of the main educators and also the nurse unit manager were the people that were representing the stall of the intensive care unit that I was looking at. I think that's something to mention. So in Victoria, in two of the interviews that I went to for these major trauma centers, when I said that I was actually really interested in intensive care, they said that they didn't offer rotations for graduates within intensive care, and that it would take a few years to work into that area. And so that's something that I had to consider. And so when I found out, and what made this graduate program so appealing is that this was one of Queensland's big major trauma centres. Like this is a very big deal to me. Like I saw that as like, if I'm going to develop my skills, if I'm going to put myself into a graduate program where it's going to scare the bejeebers out of me, but I'm going to work as hard as I can outside of my comfort zone, work as hard as I can to keep improving, I knew that was going to be the program that was for me. And so I came with that knowledge, and I found out that the way that Queensland works for their graduate applications is that you are applying, yes, to a health service, but you are specifically applying to a hospital as well as down to the particular unit. So your application is going directly to that hospital's unit that you're trying to get employment within. So I found out all this sort of stuff, which was really exciting. So I went to this open day, was able to meet the nurse unit manager, one of the lead educators, and they were able to really break down the graduate program. So they showed what was involved in the graduate program, that there was also a formal transition program that was encompassed within it, which is not something I knew about, so that was pretty cool. So I talked about the different assignments and the clinical days in which we would be having to sort of show what we're learning, which was the OSCEs that I've sort of told you about, the days. What else was there? And we actually got to walk through the unit. So the nurse unit manager took us on a guided tour through this intensive care unit. And as you guys have probably listened to on another one of the episodes, like, I didn't have a student placement within ICU. So as I'm walking through the unit, I'm looking at all these sedated, intubated patients with all of this sophisticated technology in the background that I didn't know too much about. But I tell you what, the one thing that had sold me that I really wanted to work within this program is that, yes, you have the nurse unit manager was just so excited about having us within his unit. Like he loves his job. He absolutely does. And he's such an effective leader, like incredible. That I've listened to, yes, I've listened to the graduate program itself. It sounds challenging. It sounds exactly what I wanted. But the one thing that sold me the most is that when we went on this tour and we're looking around all these bed spaces, the nurses would each one by one look at us and smile. And to me, that means everything. To me, having, you know, just people that really want to work there, that are really receptive to someone new and that's looking at work, wanting to work in that unit, and to have them smile and be so positive is definitely what I looked at. And that had sold me on the spot. I knew that I wanted to work there. More than anything, I wanted to work there. So I came back and we started talking a bit more about the particular hospital. And this is something I really want to emphasize in this episode as well. When it comes to values, and what I mean is like the hospital values, I think it's really, really important to consider these. It really is. I think a lot of people just sort of write it off and think of it as, I'm just going to rote learn, and when the interview comes around or in the cover letter or whatever, I'm just going to blurt them out and then that's it. I think the values are something really important to keep in mind, because it's really showing what that hospital and what that unit, what they believe in. Like, what do they value? And so within my applications, I tried to, you know, really include, and I look at my hospital's values and I relate to them. Like, I'm like, you know what? Like, I really respect what they value as a hospital. And something else that they talked about. So when preparing for my application for this particular unit, they were talking about, consider what makes this particular intensive care unit special and unique. What type of patient demographic do they take in? What type of equipment do they use? How big is the unit? And then also breaking down to do with, what else is there? Yes, the values of the hospital, that's definitely one thing. But also it was about what makes the hospital unique. And something that they had said, and something I learned about the hospital that I now work at, is that they're magnet recognition. And at the time, I had no idea what that meant. Like, what is magnet recognition? But I went away and really had a think about what makes this particular hospital unique. Why am I applying directly to them? And I started realizing that the magnet recognition is actually something that's very prestigious. It's In absolute simple terms, I guess it's showing that the nurses that work there and their employees, that there's a very good retention for the nurses that work there, as well as great education opportunities as well. And so when you're someone starting off in your career and you're hearing that people love to work there and that there are great opportunities to develop yourself clinically and professionally, like, I think that's something to be very proud of. So anyway, that's so I went away. And so a lot of this other stuff for Victoria is already in the works. I'm still waiting on results and everything. And I went away. And so when the graduate portal for Queensland opened up, there was only one person I put down, and that was going to be, I wanted to work within that particular intensive care unit. And so, yep, the application was very similar to the ones in Victoria, whereby, yes, you put in your cover letter, yes, you put in your resume. There were a few questions that they'd asked as well, sort of similar to what I'd talked about before. And that's when the interview portion came up after that. And so I flew up from Victoria to go to the interview. Again, I wore my suit, I came on time, looking nice and respectable, went in there, shook their hands, and there was two people interviewing me. And so that, yes, they asked about, again, the same sort of thing. It's going to be a very stressful program. How are you going to deal with the stress? What are some of the things that you do on the side? Give some examples of particular times in your student placements where you came across conflict management, stuff like that. But also they went through a clinical scenario. And one of the reasons I really wanted to get into intensive care nursing is that you do look at the patient management very systematically. And that's something that's really drilled in as a paramedic student as well, being able to, you know, you start at D for danger and you work your way through. And so when it came to me answering anything about a clinical scenario, about, you know, this is the sort of patient, this is what they're presenting with, this is their OBS, what are you going to do about it? That's exactly what I did. I sort of said from the start, like, something I find that I'm decent at, or what I perceive myself to be okay at, is that I keep things very systematic, and just went through, looked at it, thought about it, and went through. And I think for me, I kept in mind that, like, it's all about safety of the patient. Are you able to look at the whole situation? How are you going to look at it? And how are you going to escalate it if need be, and who are you going to escalate it to? I think it's just a matter of saying that if you don't know something, that how are you going to find out? Who are you going to talk to? These are the sort of things that I kept in mind during my interview, and any time I had to talk about clinical scenarios or how I'm going to manage particular scenarios as well. So I went through that interview and then started getting results of where I'd be placed and everything. And I was, as you can now know, that I've got accepted into that intensive care unit. And it was, I still remember that day of receiving the email. It was one of the, by far, one of the happiest moments of my life. So I guess going through that particular walk, sort of the tour of that intensive care unit, I knew wholeheartedly that that's where I wanted to work. And it was such a good feeling and such a relief to know that that's where I was going to go. And I guess the rest is history. That's when you're listening to this podcast and you pretty much started listening within those first few weeks of me starting within ICU. So that's all of last season. So as you know, it was a very stressful year, but I absolutely loved it. So I hope you've enjoyed this little recap of that whole application process in general. So as you can probably hear, yes, it is very normal to be feeling a bit stressed and a bit overwhelmed at the moment. And by a bit, you probably know that it's a lot. But again, just knowing that coming from me and from every single other person I know and have gone through it, everyone finds it very stressful. There are a few things that you can do ahead of time. Yes, you can start preparing your nursing resume. You may be able to go and speak to some of your teachers or some people that deal with constructing resumes. That may be something that you may be interested in doing. Coming and having a thought of like maybe going to some workshops to be working on interviews. If you've never been interviewed before, maybe that might be something to consider. Coming ready with some example answers. Yes, that's one thing, and I was very fortunate to have my uni go through that sort of stuff, some things with me, but just keep in mind, it's not about spurting out an answer for them. It's really, like, to me, I perceive it to be, when they ask you a question, think about it. Don't just answer straight away. Like, have a think about what was asked and just answer truthfully of how you would do that and what your answer would actually be. I don't think fake it till you make it really comes into it here. I think they're just wanting to see you and seeing how you would do it, because I guess me looking at it now, being a registered nurse a year and three quarters into my career, the questions that are asked at the time, it seems like, oh, you know, it's just a general sort of question. They're very generic. The word keeps being used. But I think working as a registered nurse now, conflict does come up between, you know, interprofessionally as well as with your patients, dealing with stress, like as you've heard all of last season and also this season so far, stress, it is a stressful job. Nursing is stressful, and being able to have coping mechanisms in place is really important. So the questions that are asked are extremely relevant and do have meaning. So go away, think of examples of how you've had it in your nursing placement so far. I think you'll find that really important. So anyway, guys, Hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions whatsoever, please send them through to the New Grad Radio Podcast Facebook page if you need be. Other way, guys, have an awesome, awesome day, and I'll talk to you next time. And I've just listened to the episode, guys. I just wanted to add one last thing into it before I go. Again, I hope you've enjoyed it. This really has been my absolute truthful answers and my real experiences of what I did through my graduate applications. But regardless of the outcome, regardless of if you've got the exact unit within the exact hospital that you're after, or whether you've got into another area as a registered nurse, just know that there are ways of being able to get into the area that you really want to be. I see it every single day, like everywhere I've gone so far, a lot of my mates, like I see people working their way into, so for example, when I was in ICU, there are particular critical care rotation programs that bring people from other areas of the hospital to be able to go into intensive care and sort of like try it. Similar thing happens in the emergency department. And so once you sort of get into the areas and you sort of show yourself that little bit more, there are ways of gaining employment within these areas. And I'm sure that's going to be for any type of nursing as well. So again, guys, just keep in mind that you haven't failed if you haven't gotten into the area that you really want right now. Just know that it will take a little bit of time, but it 100% can be done to try to get into the area that you really love. Just keep working really hard, keep working on the basics, and I'm sure you're going to get there. Anyway, guys, have an awesome day, and I'll talk to you next time.